I want to show you, which is not easy for you to see, which is partly why I wanted you to be close up, just the map that's in the Westminster Bible, because it's just helpful. And just to show you the wanderings in the wilderness. Now, nobody knows exactly the names, the route, and many of the place names are now lost in antiquity, but the route is shown more or less like this. Now, sort of, can you see? Did you want to come up for a little bit? You've got the map, you've got that there. Okay. Now, they started off right up the top in Egypt, you see, and they worked their way south and over the Gulf of Suez. Now, the Red Sea comes up from the south and divides into two horns or two prongs, so that's the Red Sea, the Gulf of Suez, and that's the Red Sea, also the Gulf of Arabia. And they crossed the Red Sea, it is thought, somewhere here, and they wandered all the way down here. They went all the way down. Mount Sinai is thought to be there. There are two possible sites for Mount Sinai, but it's thought to be there. And then after that, they wandered all the way up to Kadesh Barnea. Now, in a sense, they didn't wander. The wanderings didn't start till Kadesh Barnea at the top there. It was from Kadesh Barnea that they sent the spies further north. If you can see here, the promised land is north of Kadesh, you see, and they sent the spies here while they stayed at Kadesh. And of course, when the spies came back and 10 of them gave a bad report, the people said they wished they were back in Egypt and they didn't want to go. And then you remember the Lord said that they were then to wander in the wilderness for 40 years altogether. And what they're saying is now that from there till they get to the crossing there, all this involved them for 38 years. All this wandering here involved them for 38 years. And then when they're here, this is where really our story is taken up today, when they're here, the Lord says that they're to pass over the river, they're to go round the side of Seir, which is Edom, Edom meaning red and being the land given to Esau, and they're to pass alongside Moab and Ammon with their permission. And Moab and Ammon are descended from the two daughters of Lot. And Esau, Edom, is descended from. So their land was not to be taken at this time. It was to remain. Now, there's another map here. And this shows you just what happened, if I can just do that now to give you an idea. As they came up from Edom and Moab, they conquered the land of the Amorites, which was here. And before they crossed over Jordan, which is there to the west, Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh said, this land is very, very suitable for our cattle. Can we stay here? And eventually it was agreed that provided their armed men went over the river with all the others and fought with them and didn't come back till the whole land had been taken, they could have that land of the Amorites, Reuben, Gad, Manasseh. So they move up here, then they begin to conquer. They move up and conquer the land of Ammon, and right the way up to here to Gilead, and then the story carries on here. Now, this is the river down the bottom of the bottom there of the Salt Sea that they were to cross. and we'll come to that in a brief while. Down there where they set out after they'd conquered Edom, and they moved ahead there. Now, that was just to give you a little visual picture before I start. Now, can I also mention, before we really start, just point you to Numbers 33. Now, this really is just a little reference for you. It doesn't going to take any part in what we do tonight, really. But I did just want to show you it. And Numbers 33 begins like this. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. And Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to their goings out. And for the rest of the chapter, you've got all the places they camped in all the time they were away. Some places they stayed a fortnight, some maybe as many as 19 years. But what follows is that whole list. And it's just interesting from time to time to look at and to know that it's there. It is only a list of names. Many of the places we don't know where they are. But Moses kept this faithful list under the command of God of where they pitched camp and where they rose from their camp. So we turn now to verse 46 of chapter 1. So ye abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that ye abode there. Now, this refers to the story earlier in Numbers 14. And I take it really that for the most part, you might have a quick read through Numbers and Exodus, just to refresh yourself with the story, so that I can refer to it. But do you remember, as I was just saying, that they were refused to entry into the promised land for 40 years because of their disobedience? So if we turn just quickly to Numbers 14 and to verse 26. And the Lord, this is Numbers 14:26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and you shall not, and all that were numbered of you from your whole number, from 20 years old and upwards, which have murmured against me, doubtless shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb. And then, so he goes on, and he says that they're to go and wander 40 years in the wilderness because of all the things that were happened. And verse 40, they rose up early in the morning and gat them into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and we'll go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up to the hill. And that was a terrible thing for them to do. And the part of the problem of what you have with this last verse, I don't know if you found it easy to make head nor tail of that particular verse, but it was because the Lord had actually said to them, in the morning, set out for the wilderness. And in the morning, those who'd said, we want to go back to Egypt, when the Lord said, well, you can go back on the way to Egypt to begin with your wanderings, they then wanted to do something else, you see. But he had said to them, you begin your wilderness wanderings in the morning. So in verse 46, so ye abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that ye abode there. They were doing that in contravention to what the Lord said do. That's the whole point of that thing. The Lord has said, next morning, off you go. And they abode in Kadesh a little while. Anyway, then we did turn and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. You see? So they'd said, we want to go back into Egypt. And the Lord said, go into the promised land. And now the Lord said, go back by the Red Sea. They wanted to do what they had refused to do earlier, and the Lord wasn't having it. So we compassed Mount Seir many days. So that was the time they spent many years wandering just up and down in that relatively small area. 38 years from when they left Kadesh to when they found the brook Zered. And it isn't very far. When you looked at that map, you could see that they came all the way down to Egypt and all the way around in a matter of weeks. And they would have gone into the promised land. They were right ready there. They were sent the spies into the promised land. They were that near. And then 40 years, the breach of promise. Terrible thing. So Moses is reminding the new generation, the ones who survived, lest they should murmur. And the exercise that we have here really for us is to, we're the latest in the long line of believers, tried and tempted. Some Christians have been martyred for their faith in this land when there were hardly any believers. Others have lived in this land when there was a multitude of believers. And we're getting back to the days of the medieval times when there weren't many believers. We're not quite way back there. And there are many varieties of faith, in as much as not all people believe in the scriptures. So we have ourselves to be reminded of the true things of the faith that we keep by them, and that we don't look around and say, what's everybody else doing? How are they all worshipping? What is their culture? But we say, no, what does the word of God say? So the Lord spake unto me, saying, ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward, and command thou the people, saying, you are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Now, what does this teach us? It teaches us that when we live in the world, that we're to take good heed how we live in the world. How we behave in the presence as representing God's people among those who are not of like mind with us. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore, meddle not with them. Perhaps it might be a good thing just to look for a moment, if I can find the place. If I can find the place. In Deuteronomy 20 and verse 10. Because this tells us what's happening here. And I just read it. But the Lord lays down a principle that has already been in operation from the chapter we're now reading. In Deuteronomy 20 and verse 10. When thou comest nigh unto a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it. And it shall be, if it make thee an answer of peace, and open unto thee, then it shall be that all the people that is found therein shall be tributaries unto thee, and they shall serve thee. So they have a chance to surrender. You speak peace to them. It reminds you, doesn't it, of the golden rule that you get in Revelation. The Lord, when he was rebuking his people, do you remember? If there's anything nice to say about them, say it first. Begin with the nice things and then put across your hard message. Proclaim peace. Speak peaceably. But if there is no peace there, your peace will return to you, of course, as Jesus said. If it will make no peace with thee, but will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it. And when the Lord thy God hath delivered it into thine hands, thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. But the women and the little ones and the cattle and all that is in the city, even all the spoil, shalt thou take to thyself. And thou shalt eat the spoil of thine enemies, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thus shalt thou do unto all the cities which are very far off from thee, which are not the cities of these nations. Now, that's dealing with nations once as settled. But the principle of proclaiming peace to the city is what the Lord is doing here. He does it, you see, in the first case with the descendants of Esau, then with the descendants of Lot, and then finally with the Amorites. And it's not until you get to the Amorites, who were one of the seven tribes that were to be thrust out of Canaan, it's not until you get to them that you get resistance to the overture of peace, you see. So, first of all, they're told not to meddle with those descendants of Esau. They're afraid of them. The Edomites are afraid of the children of Israel. And he says, well, now, you may buy meat of them, and you may buy water of them, but you pay for it. You do not take it. You do not loot. Now, it's a big crowd going along a road, but they are not to loot. They are to buy. They're to speak peaceably. And the Lord knows that walking through this great wilderness, the 40 years, you'd lack nothing. They're still having manna, so far as I understand it, at this stage. But they may, if they wish, buy from the others. And that's what they did. They passed by from our brethren, the children of Esau, and they went along the way, and they were permitted to do that, and the Edomites were very generous. And then the Lord said, distress not the Moabites. Don't contend with them, for I will not give thee of their land, because I have given it to the children of Lot. They thrust out the giants that used to dwell in those lands, the Emims and the Anakims, the Horims, they're called the Horites in Genesis. And way back in Genesis 14, you find these tribes being dispossessed. So they are not the first people to live in that land, but the Lord has given it to them, like he's going to give to the children of Israel the promised land. So they're not to have it, and they're not to look for it. Not at this time. Time of David was different, but not now. And so we read that how they did so. And he says, now, rise up and get over the brook Zered. And it's here you get the dating. Verse 14. The space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea, where the spies went out from, until we came over the brook Zered, was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war were wasted out from among the host, as the Lord sware unto them. For indeed, the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from among the host until they were consumed. Now, Moses in Deuteronomy has passed over all the details of the things we read in Psalm, all the rebellions, the fire that destroyed Nahab and Abihu, the way that they were buried, the plague under Phinehas, which it was counted righteousness to him, we were thinking on Sunday. His righteous act was to slay those who had resisted the Lord. So there were, and then there was the destruction of the spies themselves. So there were many destructions, 24,000 on one occasion, 12,000 on another, I think. But massive numbers until they'd all been destroyed. But none of that's mentioned here except in passing. All the detail that's in Numbers and in Exodus is at this stage passed over. And so it came to pass, he's talking to the men, that all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, that the Lord spake unto me, saying, and of course he's now speaking to their descendants, thou art to pass over through Ar, the coast of Moab, this day. So they're moving north, as we saw on the map. Moving north, they've come past Edom, and now they're coming to the coast of Moab. And the same thing happens. They're not to meddle with them, and they're not to distress them, they're not to cause them any unnecessary worry, but simply to offer to purchase anything that they need, but they're not to do any harm to them. And in verse 24, they're told, rise, take your journey, and pass over the Arnon. Now it all gets different. Behold, I've given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, one of the tribes that is going to be destroyed. And of course it's Sihon and Og, the king of Bashan, that are always mentioned in the Psalms. Take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. I've given into thine hand. And he says, this day I'll begin to give thee the dread. And so, verse 26, I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kedemoth with words of peace, saying, let me pass through thy land. I will go along by the highway. Now, in Numbers 21, you no need to look it up, it's called the King's Highway. We still use that term. It's an expression that we use. And it dates right back to the book of Numbers. Well, just here we have highway, but in Numbers we have the King's Highway. I will pass along by the King's Highway. I think that's meant to be a compliment to the king, you see. Meant to soften him so that he... Yeah, well, they recognise that it's my land and my road and I built it and I'm the king. You see, it's this sort of thing. Let me pass through thy land. I will go along by the highway. I will neither turn unto the right hand nor to the left. In other words, I won't loot. Thou shalt send me meat for money that I may eat and water for money that I may drink. Only I will pass through on my feet. And he also adds to that, the children of Edom, of Esau, in Mount Seir, they would bear witness that we did just that. We asked them for that. We bought from there. And we didn't do them any harm. We didn't do them any damage. And the same happened with the Moabites in Ar. We asked them, and they gave us for money the food and drink we needed. And we walked along the road, and we didn't do them any harm, whatever. So, you do likewise. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him. For the Lord thy God hardened his spirit, made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into thy hand. As now is now. He's talking about things that have happened. So he's saying, that's as it is now. He made his heart obstinate that he might deliver him. They're ready to go now into the promised land. They've got the easternmost part, east of the river Jordan. So he says, they made his heart obstinate that he might deliver him into thy hand as it is now, as it appeareth as this day. And the Lord said, behold, I've begun to give Sihon. So they came out and they fought and they were conquered and they didn't spare any. But they didn't come into the land of the children of Ammon. Verse 37. Moses is reminding them that they still must regard that truce with Ammon. Even though they've got stronger, and even though when they do enter into the promised land over the Jordan, they will come south and be lined up with Ammon again. But even so, they are not to distress Ammon. And so it is. Whatever the Lord has forbidden, that's what we kept to do. Now, it's only one more chapter of the history, really, before we turn to the meditations in the law. In fact, the next chapter, we begin to get into the reflections on the law of God and the reflections on God's dealings with his people. But this is just strong historical background. And I hope you'll have found it interesting. You probably won't have the time, but it would be an ideal time to read the parallel passages in Exodus and in Numbers. It would just give you a bigger picture. But if you haven't got time to do that, well, it doesn't matter. Thank you.